welcome to Women in Politics. And Chelsea and I welcome you back as we continue our show from last week. So we're welcome, Cheyenne Fenty here. Thank you so much for coming. And we have some members of the community representing both sides of the political ticket. That is Megan Barbetto, Jacqueline Simmons, and Melvina Goodman. So thanks, everybody, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So as an independent, what has made you, correct me if I'm wrong, go with the Democrats more recently?
I don't think I voted in this last. I didn't vote at all.
Melvina.
I didn't vote.
Yes.
What?
Okay, who's next?
I have a question.
No, like,
I have one for Melvina after the show, but.
Well, you can scratch all of that what you just said.
So
it's not true. I did vote.
Okay.
So, Cheyenne, you talked about not wanting to support Planned Parenthood in particular because of its racist history, and yet you are Republican with its own racist history, and that it's carrying forward into today in some very divisive policies toward communities of color, immigrants, and women. So how do you reconcile that if you have a stance that you can't support an organization that has a racist history that's transforming itself?
Definitely. Thanks for the question. I'm going to fill out that entire thought process. So tagging on to this as well, too, with African-Americans being Republicans ahead of time as well, too. And so Martin Luther King was a Republican. So I'm just like, this dude is just thinking amazing. So as we look into the entirety of history, for me, as I'm looking from the 60s, moving all the way up throughout history, there's just been a lot of things that were promised to African-Americans, to people that were just extremely poor, whether they were white or in the country or whatever, because civil rights didn't only help African-Americans. It helped like the poor whites as well, too. So we can't just say it's a black-white issue. It helped everyone that felt disenfranchised or didn't have a voice as well. So as I look through history, it's not just Planned Parenthood or just the civil rights movement and every action behind that. It's like everything that was promised has never really been granted. And so they, like, as we're looking through history, there's been this rhetoric that, okay, African-Americans or people that are down and out, we're going to help you have this. We're going to give you this. And yes, there was a lot of welfare options that were given, housing that was given, all these different things. But there was also this idea that we are now going to be equal with whites or equal in our community. And just over the history of everything that I'm seeing, I'm just like, where is this equality? But then I step back and I say, you know what? That's history. That's what was done then. But now I'm like, let's look at what we have now. People have fought. Women have died. Everyone has been out there rallying and marching for equality on different levels in this country where we are now. We really have no excuse for anyone not having or feeling that equality, because now we're in a free market system. We're able to start jobs. We're able to have everything else that we need. So for me, while I look back on history and seeing what was done or not done for people that are disenfranchised, we have all these issues going on here. But then yet we have to, I feel like that at some point we've got to draw the line and say, you know what? That was our history. That was then. What do I believe now? What can we do now? How can we move forward now? So for me, it's not only just the issue about the racist beginnings of Planned Parenthood or anything like that. It's more than just that. It's what have people that have been promised that they've not been given, that they feel like they can't do. So case in point, I was at the criminal justice reform rally yesterday at Capitol Square, and just hearing these women, these mothers, these parents talk about that my child was incarcerated for life sentences just for having weed on them or something like that. And a woman murdered her child and she only got 10 years, looking at the disparity in laws as well, too. And again, I'm running for a federal level. So all of what I'm talking about right now is a state issue. These are things that the states have to do. We have to rally around to bring about resolutions to that. Just how laws were created way back in the day that are still hurting people now. And where are these changes happening now? So to me, it's like, regardless of the intentions of history and what people were doing, those things do bother me. It does bother me that they were their whole thing was assigned to murdering black babies or people of color's babies and everything. But then also slavery happened as well, too. All those things bother me. But as I look forward into our community, look forward in our world, it's like, this is the history. But what can we do now? what can we do now? Where are we going now?
Okay, so I know a lot of people listening may be having some thoughts, and because we're traditionally more liberal listeners, right? Because you're our first Republican candidate on here. We're so excited for you to be on here to have this conversation. I have to say, there are certain things that are like, oh man, that it bothers me to bring up, like the whole thing that started there was mentioning that MLK was a Republican. That's a really interesting way to reference MLK. And many people will look at that and say, there are so many things that you can talk about with MLK of what he's done and to connect with him, but to just say, oh, by the way, he was a Republican. If that was, I mean, this is one of these things that have been talked about, been debunked or is true, but we also just talked about the transformation in the parties. So if he was and transformed to Democrat, that would make sense. But for someone listening now, I know a lot of our people are saying the same things, the same laws that were set up in white supremacy that are affecting us today, that are affecting those mothers and the pipeline, the school to prison pipeline, are also Republican policies. They're the same ones that are being proposed right now today that mothers, that's why the rally was there yesterday, because on a federal level, those mothers want to at least see, even though it's a state issue and you've been very clear to separate those two, that you are not in charge of education. That's what you're saying, is that that is not going to be something you do, but you have brought up education many times. But even from a federal level, it's going to be important for us to see our representatives stand up to certain policies. And if you are running on a ticket with the Republicans, with 45, with Betsy DeVos, these are not something that those mothers are saying, you're speaking to me.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Women in Politics, produced here in the studios of WRIR-LP 97.3 FM, Richmond's Independent Radio. Today, Chelsea and I are talking with Cheyenne Fenty, Republican candidate for office, along with community members Megan Marbato, Jacqueline Simmons, and Melvina Goodman. Now, back to our show.
So how do you reconcile that and continue to bring up these mothers and bring up MLK and bring up these folks that have fought specifically against what the Republicans today in 2018 are running against? How do you continue to bring those up to try and connect people to you on that? And do you feel that that is genuine and true? Because many folks are not going to believe that, Cheyenne. I mean, that, to be very honest, it's almost like you're using these folks that have fought very hard for civil rights and using them to change the platform of that, because that's where we're using that for our own hope, mm-hmm. a lot of the time. So being very authentic with that, how does your blackness, how do you manage that, your blackness, your womanness, your intersectionality with a ticket that has been very clear that they do not care about women, that they do not care about women of color, that they do not care about immigrants, that they do not care about health care for poor people? How in the world do you manage that and have conversations with people that just don't understand where you're coming from?
Yeah, definitely. And I get this all the time, and I love this statement. So again, being a black woman, being a woman of color as well too, we all have our heroes. And MLK is definitely one of my heroes for various reasons. And as he was fighting for civil rights for everyone, I feel like as a Republican running on this ticket and as a black woman, there's a lot that needs to be done in our party. And who best to do it but a black woman in this party? Because I feel like for so long, whether Republicans have been, their messaging has just been horrible over the last couple years, last of decades as well, too, is like once they say, okay, well, the Republican, they're all about racism. That label has been on the Republican Party for the longest time. Mm-hmm. When are we really going to be like, you know what, that's absolutely not true. That's the history, but that's not true. But I need to step back, first of all, and come from this perspective. When my parents came to this country, in South America, racism is not between blacks and whites. So just so you, the listeners and everyone else here, can understand my history and where I'm coming from, racism was between East Indians and blacks in that country. And so coming here and seeing the racism between blacks and whites and everything that's going on there, and taking a lot of historic studies and reading books and understanding the history and understanding who these freedom fighters were, it's just like, someone has got to really take up a real fight to remove all this division and remove all of the things that are going on here. So as a Black woman, with MLK being one of my own heroes, we have to fight for equality within the parties as well, too, because I don't care who you are. There is racism on both sides in every single area. And if the Republicans are not going to listen to anyone else outside of the party, I'm in the party. I'm a Black woman. I'm someone who's going to stand up and say, you know what? Your own laws have hurt people of color, and we have to change that. And if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Y'all heard it first. She
and
said
I'm going to do it because we have to look at history. I don't care who you are. You can't just say, oh, that's it. Like that. Like she said it. We got you. Whatever. Ain't nobody got nobody. It's written in the books.
Right.
It's right there. And someone has to stand up. And there, if they're not going to listen to anybody else, I'm here and I'm not going away. They're going to listen to me, period. Because it's not only about a party, Democrat or Republican. It is about people. People need the right to do things. People need the right to be heard. Women have to speak up. We all have to be heard. And we can't just say, oh, because you're Republican, you have no right to speak or say anything like that. I have every right to speak. I have every right to connect because of my history, because of who I am and the world that I want to see raised for my own children when I have them one day. And I'm sorry, every party is not out to kill and hurt one another. We all have perspective and views that simply need to be heard. And we've got to figure out a way as to how to get to these things. And my thing, all I know is for myself, is that if I continue to look back on history and take out only things that are negative, I will never be effective for the future. I have to look back on history and say, what were these people fighting for? What was the issue? How does it relate to today? And there's so many issues, y'all, from back in the day, 50s and 60s, that still relate to today. But we're sitting there fighting over and bickering over, but no one is moving legislation to remove these things. And on the federal level, those are things that I can fight for. Those things that I can do is to remove those things that hurt women, that hurt minorities, that hurt anyone that's disenfranchised. That's what I can do.
Well, don't you think that taking down Planned Parenthood would do all of those things? Hurt minorities and hurt women?
So this is my perspective on women's health care and everything. Planned Parenthood obviously not only does abortions. They don't only do. They do other health care and all those different things as well, too. So my thing is this. And like my what was your name again, hon? I'm sorry.
Megan.
And you're saying having the conversation about the parameters around abortions. There are very, like your situation, you could have died. You could have died. There's very many situations that has to be adhered to, as we talked about. And you also did that with your doctor as well, too.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And so I've been in youth ministry and youth mentorship for a very long time. And a lot. So my perspective is a lot of these teenage girls that are sleeping around, that are doing whatever they have to do, they just, this is their words. Well, I heard the message from Planned Parenthood, and I can have an abortion, so, and it's easy, and it's no big deal, and I'll be fine. This is what they're telling me. And until I'm hearing these young girls' perspective on how they see it, I'm just like, that's not something that you just casually do. I have too many young girls, way too many students that are running around thinking that this is something they can just do casually. You know, and so, and they're not mature. And the thing is like this, they're not mature enough to realize that, hello, if you're sleeping around and you're doing something that's not good for your body, don't look to that as being contraception. Say, okay, you know what? Crap, I've got an unplanned pregnancy. There are other options as well, too. And what I would love to hear from Planned Parenthood more than just the whole, and my thing is this, everyone, a lot of people associate Planned Parenthood with just abortion. For me, I have to turn that off and see what else do they do. And I would love to see them even talk about more about what they do with the breast screenings and all these different things. And so it's just, there's too many things that are unsaid about Planned Parenthood that I feel like no one else even knows. Right. All we hear about is the abortion.
So a couple of things. First of all, no federal money funds abortions, period. Can't happen. The Hayes Amendment was passed so that the federal government cannot spend money on abortions.
But so, okay, so
if you just tuned in, you're listening to Women in Politics, produced here in the studios of WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond's Independent Radio. Today, Chelsea and I are talking with Cheyenne Fenty, Republican candidate for office, along with community members Megan Marbato, Jacqueline Simmons, and Melvina Goodman. Now, back to our show.
It goes through the system. So when someone that's on Medicaid or Medicare, they go into there and they get an abortion done or whatever, that's paid for by federal money, health care, all that stuff, and state money as well, too. So it's not directly coming from the federal government to Planned Parenthood. It's coming in a roundabout way.
So I do not have the facts in front of me, and I'm not going to debate something that I'm not fully informed on. I do not believe that that is true. But I'm sure that there are people yelling at the radio right now to correct me in either fashion. That's fine. Where I think what you're talking about with teenage girls, especially, it seems to come back to them, fair or unfair, is that one of the things that Planned Parenthood does and that proper education does is provide them with other contraceptive options. And if they're not educated in every part of that conversation that goes into having sex, how to diffuse it so that you don't have to say yes, how to have options if you want to say yes, how to say you're going to wear a condom, say I need contraception, I need to get on the birth control pill, to feel empowered to say those things out loud, which, honest to God, I'm a nearly 40-year-old woman, and I could not say the word condom without blushing until recently.
Right.
And so to be 15, 16, 17 and ask your partner that you're trying to impress for that is so hard. And if you can't give them that power early, then of course. Right.
And that power also comes with family planning, education, and versus the abstinence
and
education and things
exactly.
like that.
So if you're limiting kids to abstinence-only education, which is a different conversation entirely, then I'm not surprised that you have girls coming to you in a church situation saying, well, I can just run down, you know, and get one like it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's not just church. It's communities. It's everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah,
so and then beyond just having students that are educated in order to know what to ask for, it feels like a lot of funding is being taken away from children after they're born. So CHIP is a perfect example of that. So that, I don't remember what it stands for, but it's healthcare that is covered for children of, I'm not sure if they're poor background or exactly what it is, but it's children's healthcare and it's funded by the government. And as of February 1st, a bunch of states are going to run out of money. And every single person that you interview on Capitol Hill, if you ask them a yes or no question, do you support this? They will say, yes, I do. And they can't get a bill passed. And that is frustrating as all get out, especially considering the fact that the Republicans own the place lock, stock and barrel. And so I think that a lot of people who are in my shoes and who, you know, are independent or progressive, I don't want to say that I'm Democrat because I've never registered for either political party, but people who are progressive are so frustrated with this focus on abortion instead of improving people's lives in every step before and after the thing that happens that would cause an abortion to take place. If you were in Congress, how would you approach legislation to answer that? Are you supportive of what the current Republican Party is doing with taking away money from children's education and healthcare and Medicare, all of that stuff? Would you support WIC and all of the other programs that help children that are in poor situations?
Because it has, you did mention that it's the pull yourself by the bootstraps. We didn't get any help. So her question is, do you support some of these on the ground government funded benefits that address?
Yeah. So like I said before, when we came to this country, we were on welfare. Okay. We were on WIC. We were on that. So I support that. Absolutely.
So you are saying, that right now you would actually, that would be a difference in legislation that you would push than the current Republican agenda is doing? Because right now, it's they're trying to cut those funds off. It does seem like that. It's hurting a certain population. So would you come in as a different voice, or would you continue with the same level of agenda that Republicans said? You said that the messaging has been wrong. So has some of their legislation also been wrong that you're hoping to change that message as well?
I feel like the message absolutely needs to be changed. People need help, period.
Okay.
The money needs to be there for people to get the help that they need to have. But I feel like also in addition to that as well, too, we've got to have even community programs that are teaching people that there's so many people that want to start their own businesses, but there's so many barriers to that.
Right.
Not only give them the help that they need, we had it.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Women in Politics. produced here in the studios of WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond's Independent Radio. Today, Chelsea and I are talking with Cheyenne Fenty, Republican candidate for office, along with community members Megan Marbato, Jacqueline Simmons, and Melvina Goodman. Now, back to our show.
I had all of that growing up, but also
so
as the education.
I would love to hear more. Tell me more. Keep talking.
We actually have
about 5 minutes left. Sure. Just letting
you know. That went quick.
I would really like to touch on immigration, given that our candidate has that perspective. And I've heard an undercurrent in this session a couple of times that Republicans are racist, and that is hooked to the immigration laws. I want to go on record as, you know, the view and the lens that we have to have with immigration is a safety issue. I am all for a legal path to citizenship.
Okay,
I am
great.
Not about closing our borders completely, but you need to come into this country legally, because 9/11 can happen again. And it could be homegrown, and we have to have an awareness of that. But we also can't have a blind eye to our borders.
So right now, since we have a few minutes left, let's ask something that's very specific to this question, is DACA. So do you support that?
I think that there should be a legal path to citizenship for these children.
So if they're already here, that means
they're here.
These children are here. So you're saying that they should be able to stay with a legal path, or should they leave and then have to come back with a legal path?
I do not believe they should leave.
Okay, great. Let's ask this for the candidate really quickly. That's a good question for you. How do you support DACA?
Yeah, so like you're saying there, these kids, they leaving, I feel like they just don't, there's nowhere for them to go.
Okay.
So while they're here, they're in this system already, let's get them a good path
to
either residency. So just do something, because sending them back home doesn't really help or do anything. For a case in point, I have a few good friends that are within the DACA program, and they are pivotal, very important people in their companies that they work for. And they hold such high positions that if they were to leave, a lot of industries and businesses would fail if these people weren't here. So they need a path. They need a path to get here.
I thought you were. Okay. Thank you for that. So that is another piece that we're happy to hear that you do agree with that piece. And that's another whole conversation, because then what happens to their parents? Do they get to stay? Who's going to take care of these awesome kids that are here and doing those types of things? But I want to really just kind of open up to any other final thoughts before we head out. This was
a great discussion.
Like, truly, I think Cheyenne Fenty is incredibly brave for doing what she's doing. She, if you couldn't hear it in her voice, she got really passionate when she was talking about balancing her intersectionality and that sort of thing. And good luck to you as another woman of color. I really just want to say good luck to you in that Republican Party. On a personal note, it makes me nervous for you, but I hope that you seem very passionate about doing what you want to do with that. So good luck, girl.
Thank you very much.
And thank everybody for joining and being such passionate advocates for your own position and for your community. So it's nice to hear that even if we're on different political tickets, that we still could come together and talk about what's important for our community as women. And that's what this show is about. So thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. This was fun. Yes.
Any final words from Jacqueline or Melvina?
Well, my final word is going to go back to how you all cut me off.
Well, we will have you
no,
back
seriously,
and
I think
open the
that
platform
you have to
again.
Consider that there's other people in the audience who maybe feel the same way that I do. So again, it goes back to everybody thinking alike. And if I didn't do what is expected, then I get put in a different box.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, kind of want to, you know, and sometimes I say things just for like, yeah, because there are other people out there who don't vote for whatever reason they didn't vote. So just because I didn't, does that mean that I'm not in the fight?
You're right. And we should not have shamed her for that.
That's
because
right.
Many people haven't. And yeah, no, you're right.
I
will definitely apologize for that, because I don't want people to continue to stay there. And I would love for you to come out. So that was...
You give in many ways in the community. Voting is one way we give, and there are many other ways.
True. True.
Jackie, any last words?
No, just it was interesting to hear everyone's perspective, and really excited about the opportunity to watch the career, and good luck.
Well, thank you all for coming. We'll hope you'll come back, and we hope Cheyenne will come back as well throughout her campaign. So Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you.
And that wraps our show for this month. You've been listening to Women in Politics with Carol Olson and Chelsea Hicks Wise. For this month, we had Republican candidate Cheyenne Fenty and members of the community, Jacqueline Simmons, Melvina Goodman, and Megan Barbato. Women in Politics is produced in the studios of WRIRLP, 97.3 FM, Richmond's Independent Radio. Tune in next week for Common Thread with Fatima Smith, and Women in Politics will be back in March.